Hello and good morning. Welcome back to another edition of Sunday Focus. Children are our future. It's important to provide them with guidance and support during their formative years. But unfortunately, not every child from South Dakota comes from loving households. They have faced unimaginable traumas. It's hard to comprehend kids feeling alone in this world. But at Abbott House, kids between the ages of 7 and 21 years old aren't alone. Their mission at Abbott House is to deliver premier services for youth and families that make a lasting impact on their lives. This includes residential treatment, intensive foster care, and independent living resources for the individuals they serve. These services are life-changing, and Abbott House will be with you every step of the way. Joining us now to tell us more about Abbott House is Virginia Wishart-Lambert and Eric Clues. Eric is the executive director at Abbott House, and Virginia, she's the development director. Hello and good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the program, and thank you for letting us take some time to discuss Abbott House. Now, before we get started, tell us a little bit about yourselves personally and your role with Abbott House. Eric, we'll start with you.
I've been the executive director here at the Abbott House now for 20 years. It seems like it's only been a few, but the years really fly by. Prior to being at the Abbott House, I worked in Omaha for an organization for about 10 years, and I was just, blessed to get the opportunity to come up to Mitchell. And it's just been a wonderful experience since I've been here, being able to, I think, have a great impact on how we serve kids here in South Dakota. Probably the one other interesting thing about me is I spent about 16 years in the Nebraska National Guard, which was a great experience and I think really helped me to learn how to set up processes that work. So it's benefited me a lot in my current role.
That's wonderful. Virginia, what about you?
Well, I am actually a South Dakota native and really had a number of other careers before I started at Abbott House and didn't really know if I wanted to work at Abbott House when Eric first approached me. And actually, once I met the kids and learned about the mission at Abbott House, I've been really there for 15 years, helping to really share the story of the courageous kids that we serve and the healing process that they go through in order to become successful young adults.
When you were talking about having different careers, you even ran your own business. What was that like?
Well, actually, that's kind of how I met Eric. I, for a while, when my kids were young, I just really didn't want to work full time. And so I ran my own marketing and organizational management business, and I loved it. And I was super busy. But part of that was also doing some grant writing. And, you know, when this opportunity came up at Abbott House, it was a chance for me to give something back to kids and also just a chance to still have a flexible schedule. And so that was really the two things that made me leap at the chance to work with Abbott House and work with the kids there.
Eric, you talked about your time at Omaha Home for Boys. Was it an easy transition to go to Abbott House just because of your previous experience, or what was your time like there?
I was very fortunate that right out of college, the Omaha Home for Boys was my first, I guess, real job. And they are a wonderful organization. They really emphasize a lot on training. And so we had actually done some training from Omaha for Abbott House. And when the executive director job came open, because they ran a similar program and I was already comfortable with it, it just seemed like a perfect fit for me. I owe a lot to OHB down there in Omaha. They also put me through school to get my master's degree, which really put me in a position to be able to have a job like this. So. Wonderful organization.
What's something that you have learned about the Abbott House that some people might not be familiar with? Virginia, I'll start with you.
You know, I think the one thing that really drew me to Abbott House is one of the things that Eric said when he interviewed me for the position. And he said, you know, despite whatever the financial issues are or the challenges that are there to accept a child into our program, we will put children and their needs first. And I'm not saying other organizations don't do that, but I think you'll hear our mission is to provide premier services for youth and families. And that is really what we focus on. Every decision is based on what's really best for this child. It's not a look at, you know, how will that impact the budget.
Mm-hmm. Eric, what about you?
Well, I think one of the things that really turned me on to the organization when I came for my interview was they have a saying back then that we still use today, and that's good enough is not good enough. And so when we talk about kids or situations or things that are difficult, that's often a phrase that's mentioned in the room by someone on the team to really push us to try to do what's right, not always do, you know, what we think we can. And then something else I think that's interesting about the Abbott House, you know, we've been around for 86 years, and over that time there's only been 5 executive directors. And I think that's somewhat unique for an organization, but we've had a lot of leaders that have been that have stuck around, I guess, a long time and been tenured, which has provided a lot of stability for the organization.
Well, and Eric, you said to yourself, too, it's hard to believe that you've been there for as long as you have at Abbott House. What does it mean to you to be a part of that 86-year history, only being the 5th executive director?
You know, in the beginning, we were very short on funding, and it was a really, really tough job back in the early days, and I think one of the things I've done the best is hire people like Virginia and Deb Sturdivant, our program director. We've got probably 12 or 15 people that have been with us more than 12 years now, and that core group of people just does an amazing job, you know, of providing stability and continuing to grow the program, and that, I think that institutional knowledge allows us to just be a little bit more forward thinking in some of the things that we do, and confident that we can do it. So it's been a great job.
This is a quote from the Abbott House namesake. You cannot do for children tomorrow what should be done for them today. That's from Grace Abbott. Tell us more about Grace Abbott and how she inspired this organization.
Eric can jump in on this if he'd like to as well. But what I will share is that, you know, Grace Abbott was around from 1878 to actually 1939. She died the year that Abbott House was started. And she was really a pioneering woman who focused on being a social reformer and protecting children with child labor laws. In fact, she was the first woman to direct what was then called the U.S. Children's Bureau, and she actually helped create the Social Security Act because she was around before we ever had one of those. And so Eric and I probably both wish we'd have been there at this time, but the founders of Abbott House at that point saw her as an inspiration. You know, she was working, she and her sister actually were working very hard in the Chicago area to really help create laws that would protect kids and actually protect moms. A lot of laws focused on maternal needs, you know, for mothers of children and making sure they weren't being exploited in different ways. And so, you know, her statement really is something I think that we take to heart as we work every day, because if you don't do it for a child today, they're going to be another day older and have experienced, you know, more trauma tomorrow. So if there's no better time than the present to make a change for them or to help them in some way.
Oftentimes, you know, we don't have the next program in mind yet, or we may not have the funding in place, or there may be other hurdles or challenges that are out there, you know, that we're facing. But we have to stay focused on the kids and what their needs are. If we can meet them where they're at and meet those families where they're at and help provide the needs that they need today or the needs they're going to need tomorrow, we'll be accomplishing our mission. It's just any organization, any business, anywhere has to be able to change on a dime and be able to do new things or adjust as needed. And I think that's one of the things that we do a really good job of at the Abbott House.
Yeah, key business model right there. If you were just listening, we are learning more about the Abbott House in Mitchell in Rapid City and right here in Sioux Falls. Virginia Wishart-Lambert and Eric Clues, they are on with us. Now, I mentioned it briefly at the beginning of this interview. What is the mission of Abbott House?
So the mission is to provide premier services to youth and their families, and really every decision that we make during a day is really focused on that. It really goes back to the statement that Eric said about good enough is not good enough, and our focus every day is to not just be good, but to be premier in the support that we provide for the young people in our care.
Can you tell us more about the services that Abbott House offers?
We have 3 primary programs. We have a psychiatric residential treatment program that's located in Mitchell, and that program actually serves 45 young girls up to the age of 18. We also have intensive foster care homes, and those homes are a little different than a typical foster care home in that we own the home. We hire a married couple or sometimes a single person to live there and be the parents of the home. And then each home can house up to 6 foster care youth from across the state of South Dakota that need a home and a family to live with. And right now, we have 4 of those homes in Rapid City, 4 of them in Mitchell, and 2 of them here in Sioux Falls. And the homes are either homes for boys or girls, so there would be up to 6 girls or 6 boys in one home, and we pay all of the bills and provide all of the support for the families so that really the families that live there can really focus on supporting the kids and what their challenges are, you know, especially if they've been bounced from foster home to foster home or they've come from a bad family situation and they're brought into this home where, you know, they don't really know anybody. So they're struggling to figure out, you know, what are my next steps? How do I fit into this family? And so it's really important for our parents to be well-trained in how to help kids feel comfortable, really build a relationship with them. We use different training programs to do that. So that's our intensive foster care program. And then we also have an independent living program where we have an individual who supervises and supports youth once they turn 18 years old who have been in foster care. So those youth can come from our foster homes or other foster homes across the state or other programs across the state. And really, that program focuses on youth between the ages of 18 and 21 to really help them get on their feet, learn about budgeting, learn how to drive, go to school or get a job, whichever their, you know, whichever their career path is, and really try to help them get a good pattern of young adult living established before they move out on their own.
What's harder to teach the kids? Is it more about going through the days of school or is it driving and learning how to be an adult? I'm still trying to learn how to be an adult.
I think it's the latter, learning how to be an adult. We all struggle with that a little bit, I believe. And, you know, if you've never had a regular routine or those kinds of things, when you turn 18 and all of a sudden you're on your own mm-hmm. and you're trying to figure it all out, there's just a lot of things, you know, and for a lot of foster children, if they don't have a good relationship with their foster parents, they really have no one to call when something bad happens. You know, like just last week, my daughter had a flat tire on her car and she's in the middle of nowhere. Mm. And, you know, Mom, now I remember you showed me how to do this, but now do you really, can you help me get, you know, figure this out? And I think that that's true for foster children. If they don't have anyone to call, one situation, one small crisis like that can lead to a lot of other bad experiences for them. So this program is really created to help support them so that they can establish some of those healthier routines and habits and just learn the basic life skills that we all have to figure out as we become young adults.
I'm sure that some of those kids or even young adults, they've had to grow up early in their lives too. So how do you kind of switch the adult mode off of a kid, let's say that's 13 years old, when that's all that they've been doing for most of their life?
Oh, boy. You know, I think our staff are really well trained in dealing with kids that have trauma. I call our direct care staff in Mitchell and our foster parents the heroes of the program. And I just get to tell their great stories because they really work hard to build relationships with children and try to, especially young kids, if you come into our foster home and you're 10 or 11, really try to help kids learn how to be a child again and find that joy again that comes from just doing simple pleasures that a lot of us would typically do with our families that, you know, these kids have maybe never, ever experienced. I think our foster families and our foster parents do a really good job of that. And we try to help provide for that as well as our donors. Like, for example, we just had a family. Usually every family takes a short family vacation in the summer. And, you know, there's a lot of experience and learning that comes in family vacations.
Yeah.
And so I just had a foster mom yesterday tell me about her kids trying to learn. They were at Wisconsin Dells, you know, and several of their children had never ridden a roller coaster before. And so just experiences that typically we would all have in our lives. our foster parents build relationships with those kids as they share experiences, both the fun ones, like a family vacation, and the not so fun ones that come with therapy and getting your homework done and doing your chores and all those other things that are just ordinary life.
Now, you mentioned, too, that these Utes, they come from all across the state of South Dakota. Are their backgrounds similar or different from one another where you get these kids from?
I would say every child's experience is unique. You know, they all come to us with some sort of trauma, abuse or neglect or other mental health issues. But they all have unique stories to tell and unique experiences. And really what we do is cater to that. Every child has their own personal plan of healing when they come to us, whether they that's developed once they get there, whether they come to our foster homes or they come to our psychiatric residential treatment program. And those are revisited with them, you know, on a regular basis, and we track their progress and that sort of thing, hoping that we can continue to make progress with them until they leave us.
86 years Abbott House has been a part of South Dakota, mainly in Mitchell, but as we've been talking about, you expanded to Rapid City 2015 and Sioux Falls not that long ago, just in 2024. What gave Abbott House the idea to have locations in Rapid City and in Sioux Falls?
Yeah, I would say it all kind of goes back to the reason the program really got started in the first place. And, you know, we had young ladies coming to our program in Mitchell, our residential program, and we actually had kids that would stay up to 6 years and graduate high school out of a facility. And it just wasn't good for kids. It wasn't good for them to transition. It was such a huge jump from that environment to being an adult. And so the foster care program kind of got started in Mitchell and then the independent living apartments. And the state of South Dakota has been a wonderful partner for us. They saw how good that was for kids. Our average length of stay in our residential program went from over 4 years all the way down to 11 months, which is wonderful. And there are many other programs across the state that had the same problem of these kids coming and just staying too long because there was no place to go. And so the state asked us to replicate the program first in Rapid City, which we were able to do, and then now in Sioux Falls. And we're excited that I'm actually in Rapid City today because we're out here raising another $2 million to build two more homes for kids. And next April, we'll be back to Sioux Falls again, and we're going to add two more homes there. So it's very exciting that we're able to have such an impact on the foster care system here in South Dakota.
Absolutely. Continuing on that tradition at the Abbott House, talking with Virginia Wisher-Lambert and also Eric Clues from the Abbott House here in South Dakota. Now, can you walk through what a typical day is like for the youth that receives the care or anything like that, a typical moment for them?
You know, and I guess I can say a little bit, and Virginia, you can add in if you want. You know, in our psychiatric program there in Mitchell, our residential program, we have 45 girls, and it's very structured. We believe that, you know, kids that come from traumatic backgrounds or what we would call hard places, stability is very important. And so our program is really kind of built on three pillars. Our first goal is to create safety. Felt safety, so the kids really feel safe in their own skin, and then develop relationships. So we really focus on, you know, developing that rich relationship, so that then as the third thing, we have the opportunity to speak into the kids' lives. And so our kids at that program get up about 6:30 in the morning and have breakfast and have a morning routine they go through, and, you know, they make their own beds and clean up their living areas, and then they move on to this our school that we have in the building about 8:15, and then they will go to school and take classes until about 3 p.m. And then they come back and get to have a snack and a fun time. And then about 5:30 in the evening, we start groups. And so depending on what the needs are of the young ladies, they might be in a group for emotional control. They might be in a sexuality group. They might be in a group called neurofeedback where we do a lot of work with brain scans and how to help deal with treatment that way. And then there's also individual therapy that the kids will go through in the evening, and that's all on a varied schedule. So that's the residential program. And then in the foster homes, it would be very similar to any of our houses. You know, the kids are up about 7:15 or so in the morning, get around for school, and they all go to public school, and many of them play sports and are involved in all kinds of activities. So if you can imagine, you know, 6, 12 to 18-year-olds living in a home and all the activities are going on, those parents are hopping.
Just like a normal soccer mom or soccer dad, any type of those days. Virginia, do you have anything to add to that?
I would agree with him. Those parents are, they're always busy. And during the summer, you know, the kids often will have tutoring and those kind of things. So they're busy year-round, keeping their kids busy in activities and taking care of their own personal needs.
Once these kids or young adults complete treatment with Abbott House, what do you want their futures to look like? What's the goal for them once they walk out of the doors at Abbott House?
I think our biggest goal for kiddos is, and everybody talks about it, but to just to break the cycle. Individuals that come through traumatic backgrounds often, if they don't learn how to deal with the emotions that are associated with that, and to really understand that the troubles that they're facing today aren't anything that they were born with. It's not something that inherently is part of them. It's because of those situations that they've had to live through. That's very powerful for kids to learn, because many times when you're dealing with a 14-year-old girl who's attempted suicide, they're at a point in life where they just don't have any hope. They don't think anything can change. And I think that's what Abbott House is able to do, is we give these kids hope. We show them that a lot of the feelings and the things they're dealing with are a product of those past experiences, and that with the right tools, they can break out of that and they can make a life of their own. And again, if there's one thing I'm proud of, it's seeing those young ladies come in and the shape that they're in, and then seeing them leave and get jobs and go on to college and and have families of their own and live life the way that life was meant to be lived.
Absolutely. Now, not all kids are easily able to crack, if that makes sense. You can't get them to open up all at the same time right away. How do the staff at Abbott House reach the kids and get them to feel comfortable enough to be a part of this next chapter in their life?
It's different for every child. Some kids will connect quick with our staff. Other children, it might take 2 months before they start to develop a relationship where they'll trust someone. So the key to the whole process is meeting the kids where they're at, not pushing the issue, giving them time and space. And then as we talk to our staff all the time, we have to walk through the storm with them. Our staff put up with a lot of different behaviors, but they re-experience much of the things that our poor kids have, because we have to walk back through that and help them to understand where the emotions and the feelings and the things come from so that they can then get control of them in the future. But as Virginia said, the individuals that are there working directly with the kids are definitely the heroes of the Abbott House.
The Abbott House also welcomes volunteers to the organization besides the parents that are part of the programs. What are some volunteer opportunities at the Abbott House in either location?
You know, we are really open and always looking for volunteers in all of our locations in Mitchell, Rapid City, and Sioux Falls. And there's opportunities for individuals to come alongside and be like a big brother, big sister to a child. There's also opportunities. We have some groups that will adopt a foster home, right? So the foster home kind of becomes the place that they focus on. And so maybe once a month they gather there to play games, or maybe to go with the family and take the kids and the family to the park for a meal and an afternoon out or whatever it might be, just different things. It really depends on, you know, whether it's a foster home or in our psychiatric residential treatment facility, groups will come in to play games with kids. Also, I just on the way here, in fact, had a person reach out to me who was like, I'd really like to come in and help the girls with some baking. Would you have an interest in that? I'm like, we love that kind of thing. Sometimes volunteers will come in and do art projects or, especially around Christmas, we always have to do some cutout cookies for sure. That's a big thing.
Of course.
But we have a volunteer who will come in and help girls learn how to make pies and things like that. And at the Abbott House, we actually have a teaching kitchen. So girls do get to work in a teaching kitchen on a regular basis and learn how to cook different things. And so that's really helpful because it's not like they're in a commercial actual kitchen or someplace like that. They're in a kitchen just like your kitchen or my kitchen. So we're always looking for volunteers to come alongside and either support our foster kids and foster parents or meet our girls in our PRTF program in Mitchell.
I also saw on the Abbott House website, you do have some ongoing needs throughout the year, a wish list, so to speak. What's something that the Abbott House needs right now?
We've been just in the process of collecting a lot of different school supplies. And really next, what we'll be looking towards is different types, some of the newest games, and as well as like sweatpants for girls and for boys, because we start working on Christmas in September. Mm-hmm. Just to try to create a great Christmas experience for all of our kids. So we will create and update that wish list as far as, you know, what do kids need from a clothing perspective, as well as are there specific games they would like, things like that. We're always looking with 45 kids in our PRTF program. We heavily use board games, card games, things like that. So every couple of years, we need to replace a lot of that. We're also always looking for outdoor sports equipment, basketballs, footballs, you know, different things that kids need to help kids stay active when they're outside.
Awesome. Virginia Wishard Lambert and Eric Clues still on with us talking about the Abbott House. Now, before we wrap up this conversation, is it rewarding to be a part of someone's next chapter, especially when it's kids that you're helping along the way?
I would say absolutely. When New Youth Move in the program, one of the things that we do is we have kids that are graduating our program write letters about their first day and the feelings and things that they were feeling and how they're doing today, and we pass those to the new girls that are walking through the door, the new young men, and I think that's one of the most powerful things that our new kids get to see is in that hope and just being able to help provide hope for kids and then seeing the changes that make it. It couldn't be any more rewarding than that.
There are always certain children that stick in your mind. And oftentimes now, especially with social media, they'll find us on our website. And so then through our development office, we get an opportunity to interact with those youth. And just this year, we gave out 6 scholarships to 6 of our graduates and over $10,000, almost actually $11,000 for them to go to college. And, you know, so you see kids, and there's always one particular girl that sticks in my mind. And when she came in, she just looked haggard, and she wanted no one to see her face. So her hair was always over her face because of her experiences. And so literally if our staff would speak with her and not ever see her face, right? Because that's, at first she didn't speak much, but before she left, that particular girl ended up doing a presentation in front of a group of visitors and talking about how she had changed, and her hair was cut and she had makeup on. And to see the transformation, that's what the reward is all about.
Absolutely. Again, we're talking about the Abbott House, Virginia Wishard Lambert and Eric Clues. Before we wrap up, any events you have coming up? I know you have one in September, actually.
You bet. And we could use some volunteers for that event as well. We have an event here in Sioux Falls. It is called the Hope in Action event. It is a breakfast event on September 25th. Breakfast starts at 7 and the program will start at 7:30. And we've been really lucky. We have 3 great people that all of you will know who will be part of this as we share more information about the impact Abbott House has in Sioux Falls. And those individuals are Dusty Johnson, who was our former board president and the person who really helped us start our foster care program. Mm. He was president when we started it, as well as Dana Dykehouse and former SDSU coach John Stiglmeyer. So we're really excited. We hope that people would be interested in hosting a table and just coming to learn more about Abbott House. We're not fundraising. We're really trying to let people know who we are and how we help change lives.
Wonderful. And the website or phone number if anybody has any questions.
You bet. So abbotthouse.org is our website. And you can call us at 605-996-2486.
Wonderful. Again, Virginia Wishard Lambert and Eric Clues, thank you both so much for being on the program today and telling us more about the Abbott House.
Sunday Focus is a public affairs program of Results Radio, Town Square Media, Sioux Falls.